I'm just going to use this mic for a little bit here, okay, Jeff? Well, yeah, warm welcome. It's good to be here. And I don't know about you, but I really feel the presence of God in this place. There's just a movement of the Spirit. There's excitement and joy. I'm glad for that. That's good news. Praise God. One thing that wasn't mentioned is that on Good Friday, we are joining with three other churches for a Good Friday service at Victory Church, which is in Oriole Park. So every church is going to take a part in the service. We're going to be passing out the elements of the Lord's Supper. So we're going to take the Lord's Supper together with other Christian churches. I think that's an awesome, healthy thing to do. Yeah. And I believe that it's at 10:30, Friday morning, Good Friday, 10:30. So let's show up and enjoy and remember the amazing thing that Jesus did on the cross. We're going to also have a few people in the worship team singing with their worship team as a kind of a joint effort. I think that's a really healthy thing. And it's on Good Friday at 10:30 in the morning. That's a week from this Friday. So it's the 14th. The 14th. Yeah, a week from Friday, the 14th. 13 more days. Okay. I'm gonna bring the word in a few minutes, but I just want to kind of preface that with some... Thank you, Albert. I just want you to think about, I guess, some of the things you're thankful for. I mean, this is what worship is. Worship is how we sort of do this together. We all come to the same table and we say, hey, I'm thankful, God. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for hearing my prayers. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for what you've done in my life or my kids' lives. And also just the promises of God. As I'm thinking that there's a few people here, I'm hoping, you just can answer the question today. Does God really keep his promises? And if so, can you give me a couple of examples of that? And like I usually do, I'm going to ask you not to go long because, you know, this isn't about real long-winded things. It's just about coming to God this morning and saying to God, Lord, as we're about to hear your word and as we're about to hear, you know, what you want us to know and as you're teaching us, we come here today to worship you. I came here today to open my heart because that's the best thing for me. I came here today to lay my burdens down and to be reminded by my friends today about how faithful God's been and how he's kept his promises. So, Doug, I saw you jumping out of your seat like one of them beans. So why don't you start, and then I'm going to keep the mic, and we'll go to someone else.
Wow. 15-odd years ago, stepdaughter Angie was about 16, and this guy kind of cut her off in traffic, and then I can't remember the details, but we had to go to court. And so I had this whole thing, this big paper written out, you know, and I was praying really hard, and because I knew it wasn't her fault. The guy cut her off, and then he went to the cop shop first, and he lied. And so I went to court, and I had this whole thing written out, but the crown attorney, he just goes, you're a witness. So, like, I had to cross-examine this guy, and I didn't. I just was, duh. I said, you don't even know what day the accident was. That's all I could say. I was really nervous. And the crown attorney kind of poked me, and he says, I'm dropping all charges. And and I just got out, and I said to Angie, I said, there's a verse in the Old Testament, Angie, and it says in Kings, it says, you won't have to fight this battle. You'll just merely have to stand still and see the deliverance of your God. And she just said, whoa, that gives me goosebumps. You know, and yeah, praise his holy, awesome name.
That's encouraging. So he answers prayers, and he's there for us. He's present. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. If you're in trouble today, he is present for you. Someone else. Okay, Sam, why don't you come up? But rather than me chase you guys down, I told you I'm not in great shape here. Marilise, you come on up, and then you come up too. Fortong. So we're going to do this fairly quickly, but Sam?
So in 2013, God had asked me to move my daughter out to her dad's because of some of the issues she was going through. Later on that year, she moved in September. Later on in that year, around, I think it was March, we had a prophet from the States come to us and tell us that Sasha would move home before she turned, when she was 13. In January of this year, on the 29th, she moved home. And on February 9th, she turned 14. Amen. So God is faithful.
That's good. He is faithful. Thank you.
And me, I want to tell you, when you need the will of God, is there to protect you. I was going to the Camp Living Water in BC, and I was listening to a spiritual CD, and I was kind of going with the speed of the music, and I was crossing the mountain, and then God, Holy Spirit, told me to take a resting area, and was a resting area coming, and I took the resting area. I was already has been driving for 6 hours, and I look around the corner, and it was four goats, mountain goats, right in the middle of the highway. And God protect me to take this. And after that, I said, okay, God, I worship him all the way to my destination. I was so glad that he protect me from those goats. And I give him thanks, glory, honor, and praise.
Amen. And we learn not to drive the speed of the music.
Yeah, I thank God first for my life because it's a testimony. To be alive is a testimony. And I thank really Pastor Stan, a man of God. Also, I thank Pastor Alvin because I was really, really in the problem for 5 years of marriage, divorced with my wife. And my kids apart and I too apart. But I want to thank God. On Friday this week, the divorce was canceled. And yes, I really, my wife came and we went together. We canceled the divorce and all the charges that I've been giving me for 5 years all go apart. And I really, really thank you with my sincere heart and Pastor Alvin, because I'll be going for counseling, and I want now to wed my wife in the church. So that is what I want to do. Amen.
I think we'd be missing something if we didn't just thank God in prayer right now. What's your wife's name? It's Fortong is your name, right?
It's Sifa.
No, what's your name?
My name is Fortong.
I know, I just don't say it right, but Fortong. And Sisa?
Sifa.
God, you know their names. For Sifa and for Tong, thank you, God, that you rebuild what the enemy has destroyed, that there's always hope with you. Thank you for this man's humility. It oozes from him. Thank you that he loves you. God, we look forward to the day when this marriage can be completely restored. You are, like we said today, you're the God who heals us. You're the God who takes all our brokenness, and you can deal with it because you've already dealt with it on the cross. Thank you for this brother. God, you're so good. All these things are things that we've heard today are testimonies of how faithful and how good you are, and that you keep your promises. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless you. Amen. Got maybe time for one more. Yeah, come on up. Debbie.
I just want to share that. I love the authority God gives us in our life. We have authority over the enemy, and because Russ and I, we house sit in different houses, and we don't know who's there, what they have in artifacts or anything. Quite often, we have to take authority over the enemy, and we have to be very consistent on it to actually get him completely removed from the residence. So we had that experience this winter, and he just gave both of us the authority to just command that enemy to leave, to not be a part of that household, even though there was little witches and little things, as just little tiny artifacts from Mexico and stuff like that, because this woman that we house sat for goes to Mexico and brings all these little trinkets home. And thank him for the sensitivity to recognize who they are when they come in and to kick them out when they think they're going to stay. So I just thank the Lord for the authority and the dominion over these things in our lives. It doesn't matter whether it's sickness or whether it's something that's just come against you, whether it be a store owner or a property owner or even just walking down the street and missing an accident, like the lady was sharing about missing the goats in the middle of the road. It's a type of authority that you take. And to always remember that with your authority is love. that you never punish or condemn or judge or curse, but you love in authority.
Good news. Thank you. Let's, one more time, I'm just going to pray, not for you, but for me. God, thank you for just showing up here today. Thank you that you remind us that you keep your promises. You've made so many promises to us in your word, and you are faithful. You are the truth. Thank you for your word, and as we start walking towards the cross, we start thinking about Easter and Good Friday and the gift of life that you've given us, the gift of forgiveness. We come with great joy. We're not afraid. Even though the temple curtain is torn in two, we're not afraid. Even though there's nothing protecting us from you anymore, there's no barrier between us. We're not afraid because perfect love casts out fear. So just pray that today you'll help me to speak clearly and somehow to keep my thoughts together, and that this will be a message that encourages us. In Jesus' name, amen. On the curtain, that the curtain, when Jesus died, the very moment that Jesus died on the cross, we're told that the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, which means that God did it. If it was from the bottom up, then maybe you could have had, you know, 20 guys pulling on two sides and make a little, that might have happened, but this was not a man thing, this was a God thing. God did this. God, and I know it's not a great curtain, but it's something for you to think about and laugh about maybe and say that is crazy, but at least I remember it. And honestly, all I care about is that you remember some of this and that you hear how good God is and that he is a God who keeps his promises. So there's this temple and there's a curtain in it, and this curtain has been in a temple for many, many years. And we're remembering from last week that this was a curtain that was 4 inches thick. It was called, it was a hand, it was a fist, the thickness of a fist in the old Hebraic writings. It was a curtain that was purple and violet and red. And that the moment, and it was always the curtain that kept people away from God. That was the whole point. God was in the Holy of Holies. He was behind the curtain in the temple, in the back part of the Holy of Holies. That's where God was. And only once a year, and only on the Day of Atonement, could anyone go through that curtain to offer some sacrifices or to sprinkle some water in the Holy of Holies. One time a year, the high priest, on the Day of Atonement, would go behind the curtain, and it was a very scary thing because you're in the presence of the Almighty God. But when Jesus died on the cross, he tore the curtain in two. And Hebrews makes it really clear he did that so that we could have access, so we could come to God, so that we don't need to be afraid anymore. And nobody, this is really good news, nobody needs to offer a sacrifice for you anymore. You can come, and through the one time offering of Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus, you can come to Jesus one time, and your sins are done. They're dealt with. He forgives us. He forgives them. He casts them away as far as the east is from the west. Reading starting in Matthew 27, just to remind you of the actual story. I'm going to do this fairly quickly. Matthew 27, we read there, verse 50. Here's the story of Jesus' death. And when Jesus, this is Matthew 27, verse 50, when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks split, and the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Jesus died, and as he died, that curtain was torn in two. Can you picture that? Isn't that amazing? And then in Hebrews chapter 10, we read this last week, but I just think it's really important we read it again, partly because some of you weren't here last week, so if you all come next week and no one else shows up, I won't repeat this stuff again, but just a little bit of it so that you can kind of catch up. Hebrews 10, 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place. Did you get that? We have the confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain that is his body. His body, the body of Jesus, is the curtain. It's the way. And since we have a great priest, Jesus, over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. And he goes on. We have access. That's what he's saying. You get it? We can come to God. We can come to the Father through the Son. And that's true for every single one of us. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what country you grew up in. It doesn't matter what kind of family you have. It doesn't matter what kind of a situation you're in. And by the way, we're all in some situation. It doesn't matter what kind of mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter. Any of that doesn't matter. You can come to Jesus because Jesus said you could, because that's why he died on the cross. That's why on that day when Jesus died and the curtain was split in two, it was his invitation. We talked about that last week, so I'm not going to get into it too much. But this was like God's calling card. He split the temple in two, or the curtain in two, not the temple. And he said, this is my calling card. This is my invitation. Now you can come. Now I'm making it accessible. This is an invitation. Come to me. And that's what he always says. It's always just come. You come to me. I'm here waiting for you. Where we ended off last week was, I also said that in Hebrews 10, we were talking about how the way now is a new and living way. Remember that? Nobody? It's a new and a living way, that this way of the torn veil is a new and a living way. The new, the word new, is from the word in the Greek, prosphaton, which means it's like a new sacrifice. It's something that, it's a recent kill. It was just done. So every time we come to Jesus, every time, it's not like there's this old sacrifice from thousands of years ago. The blood is fresh. That's really what it is. It's a new and a living way. The other word, living, this is what we have as believers. The living is like a spring of life. It's a life. It just keeps flowing. It's perpetual. It's a living. It's a life that just moves and flows because that's what Jesus has done. We no longer live by an old covenant, which was an old and dying way. We now live according to a new covenant that's founded in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is a new and it is a living way. Amen? Amen. Okay. Now, where we ended last week is I was trying to make the point that there's a chair by the curtain. And that the issue we have a lot of times is that we are sitting in the chair. We know that there's a way to the Father through Jesus. We know that the curtain has, the veil has been split in two. And that so many of us, we find ourselves just kind of sitting in the chair. I know I've been here for a long time in my life, sitting in the chair and waiting. We're going, okay, this is cool. This is great. This is redemption. This is what Jesus has done. So I'm going to sit here and get myself comfortable, and I'm going to wait for the show to begin. So come on, God, what's next? You did a great thing when you tore the curtain in half. Now I'm going to wait here. What do we do? What are you going to do next? When does the show begin? And I think that a lot of us spend our lives doing this, that we're waiting for God. We're standing by the curtain. We're going, okay, God, I'm just going to wait for you. And there's something good about waiting for God. Although, in that language, the waiting is never just sitting there twiddling your thumbs. It's a anticipation, and we do things for that. I'll get to that another day. But what God is saying is I'm waiting for you. I have opened, I've prepared the way. I've made it so that you can come through this. And you keep waiting for me. And we do that, right? We keep praying for God. God, show up. God, do this. When's that revival going to come, God? When's that healing? When is this going to happen? God, just, I'm waiting here. I'm sitting in this chair. And we spend most of our lives sitting in the chair. And God's going, I'm not the actor in this play. You are. And if anything, I'll do it with you. I want to walk through this with you so that you can do the amazing things that my son did. This is what the Father's saying. You can do the amazing things my son did when he was on earth. But you cannot just sit in that chair. If you're just sitting in the chair waiting for me to do something, that's not what I've called you to do. I've called you to come. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, he says. You gotta stand up and walk through that door. Amen? So that's kind of where we've been at. And once we get rid of the chair, once we get the faith, because this is really a faith issue, it's about faith. It's about doing what God says that we should do. Is realizing that what he says over and over again is that he includes us, and this is a tremendous privilege, by the way, that he includes us in the building of his kingdom. He says, I want you to be kingdom builders. I want you to join me in advancing the kingdom, in telling people about Jesus, in worshiping me, and making a difference in all kinds of people's lives. I want you to do this business of building, the enterprise of building the kingdom of God with me. Amen. Right? And that's, okay, Albert, give me a minute, okay? You're throwing me off, buddy. Okay. So what we're talking about is what God's saying is you got to join me in this. And stop waiting for me to show up. I've already shown up. I've already shown up, and I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to keep my promises. Can you agree with that? Are we on the same page? You agree with that? God keeps his promises. Now, the big question today is what's behind the curtain? And I mentioned that last week, because we're going to talk about what's behind the curtain. So let's. I first want to show you a clip. It's going to be kind of familiar to some of you. You ready with that, Tim? So we're just going to turn the lights off. Can you do that, Jeff? So remember, the question today is what? What's behind the curtain? Okay? What's behind the curtain? Go ahead, Tim.
Read my eyes. Why have you come back?
Please, sir. We've done what you told us. We brought you the broomstick of the Wicked Witch of the West. We melted her.
Ah, you liquidated her, eh? Very resourceful.
Yes, sir. So we'd like you to keep your promise to us, if you please, sir.
Not so fast. Not so fast. I'll have to give the matter a little thought. Go away and come back tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Oh, but I want to go home now.
You've had plenty of time already.
Yeah. Do not arouse the wrath of the great and powerful Oz. I said come back tomorrow.
If you were really great and powerful, you'd keep your promises.
Do you presume to criticize the great Oz? You ungrateful creatures think yourselves lucky that I'm giving you audience tomorrow instead of 20 years from now.
Oh.
The great Oz has spoken.
Oh.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The great Oz has spoken.
Who are you?
Oh, I am the great and powerful Wizard of Oz.
You are? I yes. Don't believe you.
No, I'm afraid it's true. There's no other wizard except me.
You humbug!
Yeah.
Yes, it's exactly so. I'm a humbug.
Oh, you're a very bad man.
Oh, no, my dear. I'm a very good man. I'm just a very bad wizard.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, right? And I just want you to remember the one line too that she says. She says, if you are really great and powerful, then you'd keep your promises. Remember that for a little later. So what's behind the curtain? Well, if we go behind the curtain, I think what we would expect, what's going to be behind the curtain, is God. We would think. I mean, because, for like I said, for hundreds of years, God was back in the room, back in the Holy of Holies, in this little room. Here's where God was. And once a year, a priest would come back here, but this is where the Ark of the Covenant was. This is the Holy of Holies. This is where the Shekinah glory of God was. This was a place where everyone revered this, and they knew this is where God resided. This is behind the curtain. And so it would be a normal expectation for any of us, or especially those people back in that day, that now that the curtain was torn in two, you would expect that if we just go through it, we're going to see God. But that's not what happens. Because you know what? God's not there. Big surprise. Like, this is an astounding thing. I don't know if you can capture this with me today. It is an astounding thing that God is not behind the curtain. He should be there. Why is God not behind the curtain? He's lived there for such a long time. Our priests have seen him. He's done such a... This is his address. This is where he lives. But he's not there. He's not there. You know where he is? God is in us. He is in us. And that's what happened when the temple veil was torn in two, is that God began residence in people like you and me. Isn't that great? And I'm going to say this about 100 times because it's just been astounding to me in the last little while. And it's such a simple teaching. And we've heard about this since we were little kids. But just get this. Try to get this to sink into your heads, because I really believe that we don't actually believe this. But here it is. God lives in me. Let me say it again in case you missed it, because it's pretty complicated. God actually, he lives in me. Yeah. He lives in me. He doesn't live in a temple. He doesn't live behind the curtain. He doesn't live in your prayer room. He doesn't live in the Vatican. He lives, he's chosen. This is amazing. I mean, just, I can't even get my head around this. Honestly, he lives in me. He lives in me. Did I say it already? He lives in me. He lives in me. Listen, and I'm going to prove it to you. A couple verses, John 14, because it's really important that you understand that this is what Jesus taught us. It's not just something I came up with. I'm not that smart, and you know that. This is Jesus in John 14. And this is what he said. He said, the Spirit of truth, I don't know if we can put that on or not. It's verse 17 of John 14. If it's not on, there it is. The Spirit of the truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives, listen to me now, he lives with you and he lives in you. He will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Did you get that? He will live in you. He's going to live in you. He's going to live in you. This was a promise that Jesus made. And one more place in Corinthians. I'm sorry, Romans 8. You got Romans 8 there, Tim? And I just want you to, as I read this, listen to how many times Paul talks about God living in you. He actually lives in you. You got that? Okay. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but you're controlled by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, did you hear that? If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, and yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And, I'll get this again, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit, who what? Who lives in you. You know, I don't feel bad today about repeating myself, because four times in those two or three verses, four times, Paul says, he lives in you. You get it? Do you hear me? Jesus lives in you. He lives in you. He lives in you. I don't think we believe this. I don't think I believe it some days. Because if we believed it, if I believed it, you know, I'd be living differently sometimes, right? I mean, if you really, it's like if you had to take your mother with you everywhere you went. If you took your mother with you everywhere you went, it sort of changes your behavior a little bit, right? It changes your potty mouth. It changes some of the places you might be going to. Well, I mean, how much more so would that be true if you actually believed you took God with you? Right? Corinthians says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? He lives in you. Right? We wouldn't be doing some of this stuff. So we got to, I'm saying this 100 times because we need to believe it. God has chosen to actually live, I mean actually live in your heart, to have that personal, that close of a relationship with you. He says, I'm going to actually live in you, and if you're in tune to me, and if you're open to this, you're going to hear from me. I'm going to help you to know where to walk. I'm going to teach you some things that you couldn't be taught any other place, and I'm going to lead you like you've never been led before. And I want to make an assertion today that, as a matter of fact, not only does God live in us, but you know that that's true. I believe that you know that what I'm saying here today, based on what we read in the scriptures, you know that this is true, actually. This isn't something I need to actually prove to you, because if you really think about it, you know that God really does live in you. He really does. There's things that are happening inside of you that couldn't be explained any other way, but that God lives in you. Sometimes you know something. I'm going to try to give you a few examples of this. But sometimes you just know something and you don't know how you know it. And it's because God's in you. You know it. Sometimes you know someone's lying, for example. Or you know something is not true. You don't know why. But you just know. Or you know there's someone, you really can't trust this person. You don't know why. There's a sort of a little check, right? That's God. And I think that most of us have experienced this before. There's a voice of God that lives inside of us. And because he's truth, Jesus is complete, 100% proof truth. Because of that, when something that isn't true happens, we sometimes go, oh, wait a minute, I'm getting something here. I'm getting a sense of something that I know is from somewhere, right? That is God. God's in you. Or what about beauty? Let me just talk about beauty a little bit. Beauty is one of the best ways that we prove or that we know that God's real. All the beauty that's out there, the beautiful sunrise, the stars on a black sky, the beauty of the perfectly formed puppy's nose. Pardon? Oh, thank you, Sonny, but I don't even know what to say to that. Let me try to go back to where I was. The beauty, what I'm trying to say is we know, you know what, if you really observe beauty, and if you're a beauty observer and you start to see it around, you start to see it in things that you normally don't see it in, what we come to understand is that because Christ lives in me, I'm starting to see beauty because I know the maker, the beauty maker, right? There's a beauty maker. He makes everything beautiful. It's all around me. And because he lives in me, otherwise, I don't believe that I would be recognizing beauty. I wouldn't be seeing it. But now I see it and I recognize it. And maybe I even smell it because he's in me and he's opening my eyes and my nose maybe or other things to recognize that. Or what about, I got more things, what about gratitude? Do you ever have it? Do you ever have it that once in a while you go, oh, just I got to do something here. I want to just go to a mountain. I just want to go, something's got to get out of me. You ever have that? I got to get this out of me. I got this joy. Peter talks about the joy that we have is inexpressible. It's inexplicable. It's a joy we can hardly utter. Anyone have that, or is it just me? Okay, there's more of us that need some kind of medication. But you know what I'm saying, right? Like, sometimes we have that. You know that there's something going on. God's speaking to your heart. You're expressing some kind of gratitude. You're expressing joy. Again, the Bible talks about joy that bubbles and it moves and it just kind of flows from us. That, my friends, is nothing short of the Jesus who lives in you. It's because Jesus is in me that, I'm telling you, these are the good days. I'm not saying every day I have this, you know, where I'm doing the zippity-doo-da. Zip. It's not always like that, right? But I'm telling you, when I am really in tune with the Spirit of God who lives in me, there is a joy, there is a gratitude. I just want to say thank you to somebody. I'll stop a stranger on the streets and say, hey, thank you, buddy. And he might not know why, but what I'm really trying to do is just say thank you to God. Amen? Just saying thank you to God. We experience that here. How many times hasn't this happened when we start to give thanks, just one word or one line, and then it turns into more, starts with two or three, and the next thing you know, there's 20 of them, because the gratitude grows, and the reason why that happens is because God is in you. God's in you. I don't know how to put that any more clearly than that. That the God, Jesus, who died on the cross, and to me, this is I can hardly speak these things. It's just, I'm so overwhelmed when I think about what happened when Jesus died and the curtain veil was torn in two. That when that happened, when Jesus died, when he gave up his spirit, when he said, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing, and the curtain was torn in two. When that happened, he took residence in my life and in your life. He lives in me. One more example. Because he lives in me, because he lives in you, and I think sometimes, I'm trying to be careful here how I say this, but there are some people who are just so full of God and they're so full of the Holy Spirit that life itself, the four-letter word, life, seems to just flow from them. I think we have a lot of examples here, and I see it sometimes, you know, where I see it sometimes the best is at the kitchen when we're serving people. Life just sometimes flows from I think it flows from all of us. Life flows from all of us, but it's something that we can develop. It's a gift. And since life comes from God, and because God lives in us, once in a while, or maybe more than just once in a while, we see that life flow. We can be, here's what I'm trying to say, we can be life givers. Because, why? Because he lives in me. And he's the way, the truth, and the life. He lives in me. And so, you know, I see it in you. I'm not just trying to pick you out, and I wasn't planning on this, but there's life in you, Lenny. Yeah, there is. There's life in you. There was a time in your life where there wasn't. There was, you know, whatever was life was snuffed out. But there's life in you, girl. There's life in you, and I see it. And Gertie, and I mean, there's lots of examples. I shouldn't be pointing out names, so try to forget those names. The point is just this. I can tell you that God lives in you because the life of God flows from you, and you're touching other people. Boy, that's something we need to be doing more. God's been, this one phrase, he's been just challenging me with this. He's saying, values of the kingdom, be involved, be excited, be engaged in kingdom values, things that are important to the kingdom of God. Because we get so busy doing so many other things, we get caught up in our video games and in our life and our success and all the other things that are sometimes really good in life, we're not always involved in the kingdom of God. But the message today is that Jesus has included you and me to be in his kingdom, to be builders of the kingdom of our Christ. And he lives in us so that we can do it together. So here we go. When we walk through the torn veil, you know what we find on this side of things? That God is in me, but here's what else. On the other side of the curtain, it is amazing. And it is utterly awful here. Because the kingdom of God is still on the other side of the curtain in a dark world where there's a prince of darkness who's doing everything he can to destroy the works of God. So when we get on the other side of the curtain, it's a mess. You want to know what's on the other side of the curtain? It's a mess. I mean, there are wonderful things. It's crazy good. There's joy and gratitude and all these wonderful people. I have these friends. I have people who pray for me. There are healings and miracles and answered prayers. There are the promises of God. This is awesome. But it's awful, too, because people are dying. They're overdosing. They're divorcing. There's tears. There's new famines in Africa. And we can make that list. It goes on and on. This is the kingdom of God. This is doing the work of building the kingdom of God with Christ living in me. It's a mess. It's wonderful, and it's awful at the same time, because we see the redemptive work of Christ in so many people, but we also see so many who are dying and who are hurt and who are broken and who are in chains, in prison still. Are you following me? Do you agree with that? We still see that. I don't know, but maybe, you know, this really bothers me. I hate it. When I go to the kitchen or I walk downtown, I go, God, redeem. Redeem, there's a person here. Redeem them. They can't keep living in this misery. It's just so awful. I can't hardly even stand looking at it. I can't imagine what it's like for them to live it. I'm just telling you today, I'm being honest. But this is what it's like on the other side of the curtain. And I guess what I'm saying is, I believe God's saying, is that you got a choice, actually. You can just sit if you want. And you can wait, you know, like Johnny Carson used to do, come out of the curtain. Here's Johnny, wait for God to do that. You can sit on a chair. Or you can listen to what God's saying. And what he's only saying one word. The one word that Jesus is saying is this word, come. Just come. And if we, and I believe, let me just back up a bit, I think as a church, we believe this. We're doing it. We're going to do it better. We're going to keep working harder at this. It's not about working harder, I don't think. I shouldn't say that. That sounds like striving. But it's more about the kingdom and the things of the kingdom, being engaged in the building and in the work of the kingdom. We have committed ourselves to going through the torn veil, even though on the other side of it, there's a terrible mess, and it's discouraging, and lives are being wasted, and people are overdosing. But we're going to do it, because he calls us to come. Now, next week, I want to try to give you some examples of what happens when we go through the curtain. And maybe some examples of, you know, maybe some personal ones, or maybe there are other people who can share some things. But, you know, sometimes when I haven't gone through the curtain when I should have, maybe you can relate to that. There's times in my life, I guess what I'm saying is, there's times in my life I've gone through the curtain. God said, come. And I've gone, okay, let's go. And something awesome has happened. But there's been other times when I didn't respond that way, and I stayed on the outside of the curtain, and I was not obedient. So that's kind of where we're going with this next week. But I want to end on one last point, or one last note. One, maybe another warning. I don't know how I want to put this exactly, but I think that, I guess, you have a right to know. If I'm going to teach you today about the temple curtain and what Jesus has done and what it's going to be like to go through that curtain, if we're going to be faithful, if we're going to listen to him say, come, and we're going to come. You need to know this. You better know this, you know, because it's kind of the warning. Here's the warning that when you go through, here's the warning. When you go through that torn veil, there's going to be something in you that tears too. When you make that choice, you say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Your heart might be split in two. There will be something in your life that will be exposed. When you go, that's what happened. When the temple curtain was torn in two, everything was laid out. It was exposed. And you know what? You go through it, there's going to be something in your life that gets exposed. And it might be humiliating. It might be really difficult. You might face opposition. You might face persecution. You might face family members who say they want nothing to do with you anymore. Jesus said this. He said, blessed are you when people insult you. You guys feel that way when that happens? Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You need to be warned today. You are duly warned that if you choose with me, with the leadership of this church, you choose to go through, that we're going to face more opposition. We're going to face more criticism. We're going to face persecution. There's something that's going to be exposed, because that's what the curtain is all about. You lay your heart wide open. And that's all we can do. We go through it and we go, okay, God, I am yours. My heart may be split wide open by doing this. But that, God, is up to you. That's up to you. Just remember one last thing. And I just want to, you know, it's kind of been the theme today, is that God is so faithful. And the promises that he's made, he's going to keep them. That we can go through that entryway and not be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. That he says, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. I'm going to be with you. This is going to be really rough. That might be true. And you might be really exposed. There might be some really hard things, but I'm with you. I am never going to leave you. I'm always going to hold you. I'm going to support you. I'm going to, because I'm in you, right? I mean, I can't do anything other than that. I live in you, for crying out loud. So I am with you. How can I not be with you, right? Whatever it is, I will walk with you every step of the way, because I live inside of you. Dorothy said, if you were so great and so powerful, then you would keep your promises, she said, right? I just remind you today that he is so great and he is so powerful because he does keep his promises. And he loves you. Darcy, he loves you. He loves you, Doug and Mike and John. He loves you. He says, I love you. That's a promise. Sonny, not going to just love you for a week or a month. Jesus says, I'm going to love you forever and ever. I'm going to hold you in my hands. I'm going to heal you. Ultimately, I'm going to bring you home. We're gonna go through that curtain. There's some great and exciting places that we're going to go to. Alvin, you believe that? I'm going to lead you along the way. This is not going to be a dull journey. This is going to be an exciting journey, Jay. This is going to be more fun than you can ever imagine, and it's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done in your whole life. Because that's the truth. That's the truth. So just going to conclude today. I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads, and we're going to ask God to show us. I'm going to pray for a revelation and just ask God. I'm going to pray today and ask that God shows you maybe just one thing. One way that he wants you to be building the kingdom. And that can be anything from one person that you need to talk to, or someone you need to encourage, or maybe you need to fast. God might be calling you to fast for a period of time. We're going to pray about this. So, Lord, show us. That's our prayer. Jesus, you said come. And that's what we're doing. Just being obedient. We're going to come. And we want to be engaged in kingdom values. We want to be engaged in the kingdom values. The things that make a difference to the kingdom of God, not the things that make a difference to my portfolio or to my success or to my growing list of friends, but the kingdom values. We pray for that right now. And I pray, Jesus, that you'll just open our eyes, that you'll show us one way today that we can be building your kingdom. And we are so privileged and grateful that you want to build the kingdom of God with us. That you don't just send us, you send us with power. And that you live in our hearts. You live inside of us. So God, right now, maybe there's a person that needs encouragement that you'll bring to mind. Maybe there's a worry that we're going to lay down, or a fear. Let's lay it down. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Maybe there's a word that we've been receiving that's meant for someone else that we've been afraid to share. A word that's encouraging and a way that we can love each other. Maybe that's it, God. How can we love each other better? Because we know that when we go out there, we may not be loved all that much. Show ways that we can show compassion. Maybe it's about the kitchen. When we're at the kitchen and we're serving people, that we don't roll our eyes. That we don't think they're them and we're us. I don't know. But I believe, I really believe this, that Holy Spirit, since you live in my heart and you live in the hearts of the people who love you, it is not hard for you to just show us one thing today. Show us one way that we can be builders instead of destroyers, that we can be lovers instead of haters, that we can be encouragers instead of gossips. One way, God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, maybe that you'll be hearing from God later this afternoon or this evening, but there may be some of you who you already know. You know that there's something that's been laid on your heart. You know, maybe it's something that you already had on your heart. There's somebody or there's something or there, whatever it is. And if you do, I'm going to ask you just to stand up in a minute, because I think that I'm encouraged by that. I think it's a way we encourage each other, and we can just commit that to God too. So if there is something that God's laid on your heart today, why don't you stand up right now? Just stand. Amen. That's good. Don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid in here. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. There's something that's urgent, right? That's the word I'm getting. There's an urgency to this. Just stand up, because that's how we respond. Stand up because it's how we say, okay, God, I know that you're telling me this, so I'm doing it. Amen. So, God, we commit this, and some of us are maybe afraid to stand, but we take this, Lord, we take this seriously. We believe in the power of Jesus who lives in me. And by standing, we make a commitment to not sit. Maybe that's good enough. To not sit, but to move and to do what you call us to do. And God, today I want to pray for all of those who are standing and the ones who will be standing this afternoon or whenever that obedient thing comes. God, empower them. You live in them. Empower them. Give them courage. Give them the words. Give them the love. Jesus. And build your kingdom, Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Let me say that again. Build your kingdom, Jesus. Yeah, amen. Build your kingdom, Jesus. One block at a time. One brick at a time. One person at a time. Forgive us when we have written people off. And we've done that. Forgive us when we've thought that guy will never change. We've been so wrong. And finally, Jesus, let your life pour out from me. Can you say that? Let's say it one all together. Let your life, say that. Let your life pour out from me. One more time, all together now. Let your life pour out from me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the musicians, why don't you guys come up? We're going to sing a last song. It's about the name of Jesus. And it's a good reminder, you know, if you're feeling particularly weak or lonely or just needing a little extra of God's power, there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen?